Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey, church. Just want to welcome you to our podcast called More Than That. We titled it because, you know, Paul says, and one of the lines that Paul is known for is his line, more than that. And he may have a concept or a thought, and then he'll say more than that. And he has another nugget of goodness to offer up. So that's why we named the podcast More Than That. And so I'm sitting here with our pastor, Rafael Magamba, who's refusing to introduce himself. So I'm Gus Bird. So this week, in our sermon series, Free at Last, we went over Exodus 2:23 to 3:10.
Yeah.
And so it was, if you haven't caught it, I'd really encourage you to go back and listen to that sermon, because this is not a replacement of, but an addition to that sermon. So if the idea here is, if Raphael had an opportunity to say more, to offer one more nugget of truth, what would he like to add? So with that, Pastor Raphael, if you had, let's say, another 10 minutes on your sermon, what extra nugget would you offer to our church?
I mean, that sermon kind of really did feel like, I could have really spent a little bit more time. So I just really used 3 points in there, that God provides a way out through prayer, looking at the fact that, like, God obviously says, I have heard their cries, you know, and then said God provides a way out by coming down. So we get to see the burning bush and the voice, Moses, and God says, I've come down, I think in chapter 3, verse 8. And then he says, therefore, I'm sending you as a mediator. So, there were a lot of things that I think I ended up spending more time talking about prayer, talking about prayer, like, in just especially looking at, maybe kind of looking at how God is affected by people's prayers.
He's not disinterested or...
Yeah, that's probably, like, I could have just spent more time just on that. From 23 to 25, I know you touched on it. But as I was going through that, I found that to be just even a little bit more, like, of, like, man. And because, like, there's a lot of places where it says God. Like, it doesn't say God heard, remembered. Yeah. It actually just repeats, and God heard, and God remembered, and then it remembered his covenant, and God saw, and then God knew. There's 4 repetitions of the word God, like, in terms of, like, hey, listen, this wasn't like, this is actually like, and that hearing on there is not just like God, like, it's not like, oh, he, like I said, that he, it's not like he has these hearing aids or he had to get new ones or something.
Or he took off some headphones.
Yeah, he took off and finally you could hear. No. This is like literally like listening with an intent to respond.
Okay.
But at the same time, that's the first time we're hearing that they cried and they groaned out.
Right.
Like, in the whole book, as in, like, finally, like, when their prayers go up, then God hears. And I just love that, because it makes it, obviously there's a lot of times when God has responded when people are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're also seeing just the whole idea of like, man, they cried out and God responds. But he responds in a very personal way. And because like when it says that God remembered the covenant, it's almost like he, you know, he remember, it's not so much of like him jogging his memory, but like him remembering his, what I looking at like Sally Lloyd-Jones' definition, remembering or renewing, rekindling his never stopping, never giving up, you know, unbreaking, always and forever love, you know. And then it says that God saw.
Right.
But then when it says God knew, like that's an intimate word. Adam knew his wife.
Right.
That's like God entered in into their situation so that he's not described, he's not experiencing it from outside but from inside.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just a mind-blowing view of the incarnation, by the way.
Mm.
That this is actually like, it just helped me see how this is the same God in the New Testament as in the Old Testament. And it just like
father, like son.
Yeah. So that basically when we're saying free at last, when you're hearing Jesus saying in John 8, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. Like, and you're seeing he became flesh and he has come down, all of a sudden it just, you know, there's a lot more that you could actually just take and connect, like just like the basis of that, which is, I don't know, like it was one of those things. And then so when he's saying that I've come down, even just like kind of like sitting on there, I could literally just like on this, on just that sermon, I feel like, literally, like, you could blow up the New Testament. Because after that, he says, therefore Moses go.
Yeah.
But then later on in the book of Hebrews, you're going to see there's one who's better than Moses, who speaks of a better covenant, which is Christ. Mm-hmm. And he's the perfect mediator. And so, there was just so much in there. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that you mentioned was this phrase or concept of echoes of Exodus.
Yeah.
And you know, there might be some people that you may have piqued an interest there, or you may be a little confused on, you know, we know what an echo is, but you know, it's not, you didn't mean it was the sound of the word Exodus over and over, or but you know, so what do you mean by that?
I mean, there's always a way in which so whenever we study any book of the Bible, it becomes so important, and you're like, you recognize that like this part of the canon is like by canon, like this part of the Bible is so crucial that without it, literally like the whole Bible falls apart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think like, I mean, I've read most of, like, you know, we just finished Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And there's part of that where you're like, yeah, I could do without Mark, because I've got Matthew, John, and Luke. You know, there's a part where you're like, even though Luke gave us, like, a really, really robust, like, historical account and all that stuff, there's a part in which you can do without one of those. And you could be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Exodus is different.
Mm-hmm.
Exodus is different. It's almost as if, like, from there, you can't read Genesis. You can't read Leviticus. You can't read Deuteronomy. You can't read Joshua. You can't read Esther.
Yeah.
Like, going all the way. Like, I'm just looking, for example, like, one verse, for example, that is taken, and there's echoes of it every single place, like where the Lord, gracious, you know, like abounding in steadfast love, like slow to anger. And you read the book of Jonah, you read Nahum, you read Joel, you read like all these other places. And there's even places where you read in the New Testament where where unless you have a good grasp of the book of Exodus, all those things lose meaning. Like, for example, Jesus is sitting and he's breaking communion and he's saying, this is my body. And they're celebrating what? Passover. Yeah. Like, and it's just that a lot of these things he has delivered from the kingdom of darkness and you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and moved us to the kingdom of his son. Like, all those are echoes of, like, even when you get to the book of Revelation, like, it's almost like a kingdom of priests, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
what it sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, like, it sounds so familiar to the point that, like, I am so glad that Jesus, when he saved me, the first book that I read, and I think that's what made me so, what made this last week so special was because I think that's where I slowed down so much. When I had heard about Jesus, then I was introduced to this God who hears, who sees, who, and then it's like, when you see that, it's almost like you get to understand even the Son more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, when the Son, when you're now in the New Testament and you're getting to see, why is Jesus hearing, you know? Why is he seeing? Why is he, like, what does it mean when he's entering and becoming flesh? You're seeing that, like, he's not doing something totally new.
Yeah.
He's doing something that the Father has always been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and so there's almost like this echo, in fact, an echo of Exodus back into Genesis.
Yeah.
And then an echo of Exodus all the way to Revelation and into eternity. And so, I don't know, like,
That's good because, I mean, how many times you basically have just said that, you know, sometimes we struggle to know that God's there or feel like he's not there, but in reality he's, and then we turn back and it's like he was there all along.
Yeah.
And how many times do we feel that? You know, we long to see God and feel God, and then we look back like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks God for being there. Sorry I didn't notice.
No, that's and it becomes something even a lot more. In fact, what blew my mind more than anything was the whole idea of God is not sharing that he's heard their prayers to them. He's sharing it with Moses, leaving them in the dark over this side. And but at the same time, also just getting to see, like, nothing is escaping his eye. Nothing is, and even just hearing the echoes of, like, obviously Pharaoh at this moment is acting like he's got the power.
Yeah.
But really seeing that, like, no, literally, like, he doesn't have. Obviously, one Pharaoh dies, and the next one comes in, and eventually, like, you know, you're looking at this God who, in the midst of, like, it just made me actually even wonder what's happening between Malachi and the birth of Jesus. Because that's another 400 years.
Yeah.
Like, and it seems as if he's silent, but no, he's so active. You know?
Yeah.
And that helps me with all the silent moments of my life to know that, like, oh, no. Like C.S. Lewis would say, Aslan is on the move. Yeah. You know?
Huh. I mean, this might be a good segue into final question that I'd like to ask you. So we see a lot in Exodus, you know, there's a lot of suffering and there's a lot of struggle, and it can be hard for the people in those circumstances to know what's going on. Or to feel like nothing is being done, or that God is silent. So if somebody's listening to this and they feel like they're in that place, what would you say to them?
Just looking at that, looking at that passage from 2:23 all the way to 3:10, at least there's at least three things that stand out for anyone who's going through suffering. Is don't despise your cry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't despise your cry. And even when you get to the book of Revelation, there's actually like a bowl that keeps those prayers of the saints.
Hmm.
You know, I just walked away like from that saying, God, you really, really do hear.
Mm-hmm.
And but like they is like God heard, God saw, God remembered. Like, and then there's a special attention that he pays to our voices, mm-hmm. the way a father would. It's just like the way a father would hear the cry of a child.
Yeah.
So first of all, and then that's why I say it, even that prayer is the beginning of deliverance, because it invites God into the situation.
Yeah.
But the problem is that like we want this, we sometimes like we want to see the result then and there.
Yeah.
But then that's where the importance of the phrase of waiting on the Lord,
mm-hmm.
of just like, part of our comfort should be, I have taken it to God.
Mm.
And then, obviously, like, but then he decides when he brings that answer, but I have taken it to God. And believe me, he's going to do something about it. So that's why we see him saying, he repeats the same kind of words like in verse 7. I have heard and I've seen and I'm concerned about my children, right?
Mm.
And it's so good because like he repeats that. He repeats that and mean that I mean it.
Yeah.
But then I have come down.
Mm.
So the nice part about that is that, you know, then at least you know that he's a God who responds.
Mm.
He responds. And all those, and then like then he sends actually what? Delivery, like, because he said, therefore I'm sending you to go and bring my people out,
mm-hmm.
and lead them to a place of flourishing, right?
Yeah.
A land of milk and honey. So for us, that's actually at least gives you, number one, the paradigm of actually the fact that like all those all these three things actually realize they are yes and amen in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that like Jesus hears and he enters into our experience. He has suffered as mm-hmm. well. So as I'm suffering, as I'm crying, there's a friend who's sitting next to me.
Yeah.
Who's very close, and not only who's entered into my suffering and who's come down,
mm-hmm.
but not only that, who has intentions of actually what? Rescue me from whatever has me bound and leading me to a life of flourishing, which is actually now where this is why an echo of Exodus then yeah. comes into Romans, where it says that like everything works together for the good for those that love him.
Yeah.
The fact that like he has designed a life that always ends up with you looking back and seeing, wow, and then where even your own pain ends up becoming actually what? Ends up becoming a tool of actually bragging on God's goodness. Because yeah. even Moses, at the end of the day, I mean, like, can you just imagine God is meeting Moses where?
Mm-hmm.
In the desert.
Yeah.
That is one of the lowest moments of Moses' life.
Yeah.
But then God ends up using the one who is down so he can lift it. And he lifts him up.
Yeah.
And then he lifts him up, and then he uses the one who's been lifted up to actually bring those that are down so that he can lift them up so that they can all enjoy the presence of God.
That is good. Because there are so many times where we feel like God is distant. But then, like, again, we look back and we realize that was when he was actually closest.
Yeah.
And, I forget which theologian said, but all we have to do is, you know, look to the cross for that example. Like, you know, if we're up to somebody to just make up the story, you wouldn't put God closest in that moment.
Yeah.
But there he was doing exactly what he was sent to do. And that's the moment that we, you know, Christ and him crucified, we preach.
So. Yeah. And we try to escape so much out of that. But yet when you're reading Philippians chapter 3, Paul ends up saying, I want to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And the fellowship of his suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait, it's almost like there is a deeper fellowship, you know. And I remember just having to talk to someone. There was a lady here who was going through cancer, ended up passing away. And I'm in this room where everyone is saying something positive and something, you know. And I remember just sitting down and saying to her, hey, you know, I'm jealous of where you are because you get to actually fellowship with Christ in his suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that was one of the things, like, I gave her that Shane and Shane song,
yeah.
Though you slay me, yet I will pray.
Mm.
She actually, even at her funeral, like, when she was breathing her last that night, I read her, you know, this poor man cried and the Lord heard mm-hmm. him and delivered him from all his... Like, she asked me to read Psalm 37 again to her, Psalm 34. And it was like watching her, like, saying... Like, she played that song over and over and over in her last days. And I was watching her saying... And she even told me, she was like, thank you so much for encouraging me to fellowship with Christ here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just something beautiful, like, which is something that we always miss out on.
Mm.
That the fact that, like, as I suffer, at least even just like a little bit, I get to be like, wow, I get to see you clearly. You are down here. That's why C.S. Yeah. Lewis is going to say, in our comforts, God whispers, but in our what? In our suffering. Yeah, you know,
he screams
and we hear him loud and clear. So
we want to rush through that suffering so much that we sometimes miss the opportunity. At least sometimes we miss the opportunity.
And suffering slows us down.
Yeah,
it slows us down so we can hear very clearly, and we are formed quite a lot more there. I mean, you're married, I'm married.
Mm-hmm.
What's formed your marriage more?
Yeah.
Is it like the high moments when you guys went to Disney and did all that stuff? I don't know if you guys
would go to Disney. Never went to Disney.
Is it the high moments or is it the low moments?
Yeah.
Where you look at each other and you're like, I'm so glad I get to share this.
Yeah.
You know?
And not only do we cherish those moments, but we cherish the result of those moments, but how much our marriage would have been lesser than if it weren't for those.
If it wasn't for those, But we hate it when we're going through those.
Oh my goodness. we do hate, hate those. But, I mean, there are so many times in my marriage that I am grateful for those moments because of the outcome.
Yeah.
And I'd do it again, knowing the outcome. I just went through it, but I wish I would have known the outcome. Well, man, Raphael, thank you so much for the sermon, for this this extra nugget that you have offered up. If you would, can you just close us in prayer? And
well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, God, and Lord, for those that that are like me, that need to know that you are close, you are near, that you hear, and that you care deeply. God, I pray that your presence will be very present in their lives, and that, Lord, that this would improve their fellowship with you, God. Lord, you would, even through this series on Exodus, God, free us from a lot of things that hold us down, and let us find ourselves knowing you more and also fellowshipping with you more. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.
Next week. All right.